Hello, good morning. Welcome to When the Kids, well, I don't know if it's morning, but welcome to When the Kids Go Down. I am your host, Ari Thomas, and we're trying something new today. I am having a matcha instead of coffee because listen, why do I always do this? I always like interrupt myself. I usually have matcha, not usually. Oh my God. Okay, this is it. In the mornings, I have coffee. I wake myself up with coffee. I've had coffee since I was like way too young for coffee, like maybe 10 or 8, and I've had coffee every day since. So obviously I need it to do function. However, earlier this week I gave myself some really bad acid reflux and have been just kind of chilling on the coffee and having matcha. I did have a nitro oat milk, like espresso latte, from a can yesterday. And it was like a way milkier than I thought it would be, which is good. That's what I wanted. But I was literally up for hours, basically all night with this like intense back pain and just pain just from the acid reflux. And with matcha, it like doesn't hit your system directly or the way that coffee does, where it's like immediate. It takes longer to kind of wake up with it, but it also lasts a lot longer with more clarity. So while that's great in the long run, right now, when I need that shot of espresso directly into my bloodstream, I'm not gonna have it. But honestly, I need to chill with all this because I did have like a day where I didn't have coffee until maybe about noon. So I skipped my morning coffee and just had it at noon. I had this piercing headache all day with seemingly no explanation. And so I just deduced that it was to the lack of caffeine. And as soon as I had, I mean, what is like migraine medications like caffeine? And so, or it has caffeine in it. So I took some and I also had like, I don't know if I had, oh, when I had coffee later, it was going away. And I just, yeah. So I don't know. I need to relax with it. And then I've been talking here about how much I've been loving a Bloom energy drink in the middle of the day, but I already start my day with 4 shots of espresso. So I really don't think that I need to be having an energy drink in the middle of the day. So needless to say, I don't even know. I can't function without caffeine. And since word of the matcha shortage in Japan and tariffs, I feel like my matchas have been a little less loaded, if you know what I mean. They're a little light green, but again, I could just be imagining things. Although I did get an iced matcha that was pretty milky, and like usually with iced matchas, you can tell, or maybe it's like sat at the bottom, and yeah, it was very milky. So, anyways, I'm tired, and I'm trying not to be low energy, so we'll see. Sometimes I start these episodes off with a weekly report. Most of the time, we start off talking about the books I read over the week or weekend, and I can't give any spoilers this time because I don't want to. So last week I've read Great Big Beautiful Life by Emily Henry. I gave it 5 stars, and I didn't address this in an episode, I don't believe, but I did talk about it on Instagram, how I in one of my past episodes talking about Emily Henry after I was talking about Grady Hendrix, I guess, and I kept saying Emily Hendry and not catching it. And then I listened back and I was like, how did I not spot that? So anyway, Emily Henry's Big Beautiful Life. Can't give away any spoilers, but it was amazing and I loved it. And the last like hour, I guess, honestly, maybe even less than that, because I was at the grocery store and I had my headphones in listening to the last like 30 minutes, let's say. So much happens in those last like few pages that I couldn't hide my face. I was literally like trying to go to different aisles to hide my face. Like I was laughing and smiling and also like getting teary-eyed, and I look crazy, obviously, because I just had headphones in and I'm having all these emotions. So I was just trying to go to like aisles where no one was at, and everyone was at the fucking store, so it was a wreck. I was a wreck. It was really good. And everyone knows that because everyone saw it on my face. It's not even an exaggeration when I say that I was literally running like through the aisles to try to find an empty aisle to where I could just like stand there and listen to this book. It's really good. I urge you to go in as blindly as you possibly can. I'm also doing a buddy read with a friend, and I'm reading Piranesi. We're almost done, I guess. So right now I am like, we did like the first 82 pages because that's like to the part three. And then I think we're doing until like almost the final part. I don't really remember. I have to go and look, maybe to like 130 or something. Regardless, the book is Piranesi by Suzanne Clark. It won, let me actually look at the award it won. It's right in front of me, actually. It says Women's Prize for Fiction 2021. It also won an Audible or audiobook award, I believe. Guys, this book is annotated. I can't stop without like, I can't read without stopping every few pages to like highlight half of it. It's literary fiction, and I believe fantasy is also something you could say. I love it. I think you should also go into it blind. And if you liked The Alchemist, you'll like this book. It's also something that it's incredibly fast to read through, but I will say that you need to pay attention. And I just think that like if you're also doing something like driving or working, I would want to like sit down with this book. So just a recommendation. Also, I did read, so I wanted to like finish a book that I could like talk about. So I finished False Witness by Karen Slaughter. Karen Slaughter does thriller in such a real way to where like I get so immersed in the lives of these characters that it just feels like the story could actually be happening or was had actually happened at some point in time, and not in a good way. I need therapy and I need to get these people out of my brain because they don't exist. And I need to not, it's like, it feels like true crime, but it's not, but I don't know. I was thinking about how I can read like Hunting and Haunting Adeline and feel like it's totally fiction. Like I get that and I'm able to make that disconnect, but with Karen Slaughter, it just feels so real. And I did this when I read Pretty Girls, where I just needed like, I needed like 10 lighthearted books after that. Like I needed all of the just unrealistic books, like fantasy and high fae and like just romance that just was all good vibes, like all of it. That being said, I will be absolutely sat for any Karen Slaughter for hours because they're so long, but they're like, I was thinking about that when I was reading this. I was like, every detail is so important, so it doesn't matter how long it is because it's all important. So my May TBR, oh, I rated that one 4 stars, by the way, because I don't know, I didn't want to say it was predictable because Karen Slaughter always has something in the back of her pocket, but I will say that it's just so draining. I don't know. So I don't know, 4 stars. It didn't like change my life, but I loved every second of it. Well, not the bad parts, but I loved it as much as you can. So my May TBR, I'm currently reading Remarkably Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt. I did see something, someone told me recently they're still doing a live action version for Netflix. I don't know if they're doing a movie or a series, but that's coming soon, and it's a drama fiction from the POV. Well, there's multiple POVs, but it's about an octopus. So I am very like entangled right now, and I'm excited to see like what's going to happen. I know that I'm probably going to cry, so I'm excited for that. I don't know why. I've been wanting something like heartfelt and emotional or whatever, but like I don't know why this is the book that I picked up after one of the most like draining thriller books I've read. So I don't know. And there's people who read thrillers like all the time and then read like these gut-wrenching books, and I'm like, are they okay? Like how do they survive day to day? Like what, can you just close the book and be done with it? Because I'm living in it still. My next, let's see what else I have on here, because basically, this TBR came from what I have checked out from the library that was available. And so I might as well, because I have it for a certain amount of time. So I have When the Moon Hatched by Sarah A. Parker. It's a romanticy, I believe. So I've seen some stuff about it. I don't know much about it, but I kind of like going in blind. And then I have people, oh, no, I don't. So I had people we meet on vacation, and I was like, that's so crazy because I can usually, like, with an Emily Henry, I just end up like buying it because the wait is way too long. And this one is available, and so I was like, perfect, I need an Emily Henry after like all of this madness. And so I got it, and then I got it on what do you call it, an audio book. So I started to press play as I'm like putting the kids down for a nap, and then I'm like, wait, what the it's in French, it's in French. So that wasn't gonna work out. Obviously I don't know French. Not to that. I know. I don't know. I'm not even going to say it. I am not going to even attempt to speak French. Next, I have Hungerstone by Kat Dunn. It is I believe it's sapphic, right? Sapphic, like reworking of Camilla. I am excited. I don't really know anything about it other than there's vampires and it's a romance. No, it's romance, I guess. I don't know. Oh, horror. Sorry. It's horror romance. Maybe romance. I think romance, but horror is like the basis of it. So I'm excited for that one. I kind of want to start that one like right away. I thought I would want some time between like reading a thriller to horror, but I think that they're so kind of like different that I'm ready again. Also, like I did just finish The Grady Hendrix, which that book actually creeped me out. And there's this little it's a child's puppet, right? So in the Grady Hendrix Haunted House book. And a saying that the puppet says a lot because it's a child is caca wee wee. And they it goes, caca wee wee. And I have been mimicking that like throughout the day, just like when it pops into my mind. And so I'm now possessed. And I don't know. It's making me laugh. But anyways, I think I'm ready again for another horror. I'm ready for my horror. And then I have The Scorch Trials by James Dashner, which is the second of the Maze Runner. I think I'm going to burn through that in a day because that's what I did with Maze Runner. Absolutely loved Maze Runner, and I'm excited to like kind of see where the story unravels or how much more I'm going to find out about what is it called? Wicked. About Wicked, the like people, the company, corporation that like put them in that maze in the first place. So I'm excited to find out about that. And then I also have, let me know if like you would listen to this, but it's the graphic audio version of Red Rising by Pierce Brown. I have them available to me, but I also have the physical copy. I just don't want to like be tempted to annotate it because technically, like, it's a book that I bought from my husband. And he has it on his TBR, but like I am not gonna like pick it up and then like use like you know, I mean when you read a book, like you love the book, so it's like in and out of your bag and like on my bedside table on the couch. It like I carry it with me. And so like it's not gonna be like pristine by the time he has it. And I just feel like that's his book. And I don't know. People have like come to our house and been like, why do you have multiple copies of like the same book? And it's typically because like we used to like read books before children at the same time to like talk about it. Like he was my original like reading buddy. And so we have like multiple co we did a lot. I used to be like super into like classics. And so we had like multiple copies of like all these classic books. So anyways, I don't know if I'll probably do it just because I have the opportunity, but it's on my TBR. I also have The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes by Suzanne Collins. I read the Hunger Games series in January to like reread, and now I have this checked out. So I'm gonna do that. And then I also have Intermezzo by Sally Rooney. That one I have my own copy of. It's not like a library checkout, so it may get read this month or it may not, just depending on like how much I've actually gotten done. So that's the TBR. There's drama fiction, literary fiction, romanticy, romance horror, science fiction. I think there's more science fiction than oh, I skipped one. We Sold Our Souls by Grady Hendrix. I also have that one. checked out, and I'm really looking forward to that. I'll probably do that one. I don't know. I'm really looking forward to Hungerstone. So, but I want to go get the physical copy of that. So I might do We Sold Our Souls this weekend because it is such a quick read. I might do that Friday night. And then maybe Hungerstone like Saturday. We'll see. But anyways, that's the May TBR anyway. And I will see where we're at and how much we get done. If you couldn't tell by the title of this episode, we're going to talk about like artist dates. I have a section that will cost you like anywhere from 0 to maybe like 50 or 25, and then another section that's going to cost you up to like 100, no, no, 20, 50, 150, depending on where you live and like how much you spend on your artist. So when we talk about like taking our artist on a date, we are taking ourselves out in a creative way, I guess. So it's like if we're gonna like go on this creative date, you know? So you see your artist, your inner child artist, as this separate entity. So you're actually trying to like, I mean, talk to them, you know? Like in your head, you have to talk to them out loud, but it's just about like doing something for that healing inner child. And your inner child is creative. Kids exude creativity. So you're going to be fueling that and feeding into that. I will say I have my notes here, but artists are sensory seekers, which is why something like a cooking class could be a good artist date, because it's something that you are doing with your hands and also like or pottery, you know, like something that you have to like immerse yourself into, and that's hands-on. I'm trying to think of a word and I can't. I have this section highlighted here about the artist working through rhythm. So through rhyme, not reason, scraping a carrot, peeling an apple, these actions are quite literally food for thought. This next piece that I have highlighted, I was actually like scouring the book looking for because I couldn't find it anywhere, but I'm glad that it's actually the next line that I have. So it says, "Why do I get my," in quotations, "why do I get my best ideas in the shower?" An exasperated Einstein is said to have remarked. I can't find evidence that he had ever said that. I have found evidence saying that it came from a meme. So I don't know how credible that is. But it also says, so brain research now tells us that this is because showering is an artist brain activity. Showering, swimming, scrubbing, shaving. A lot of this, I feel, just comes down to being mindful, intentional, and that in itself is like a creative, you know? And so it's just about it's about finding the space to give yourself time to be creative, because we are all inherently creative. So when we take time to slow down and these ideas flow to us, it's because they're waiting. They're bubbling up on the surface, just waiting to be untapped. So I have a few artist dates that ideas that I want to share. Let me open up my notes because I did have to write it on my phone this time because I didn't have my notebook available to me when I wrote all these down. So some that could be free or anywhere from like maybe $0 to $25, depending on, you know, if you can keep it. I think you can keep these to like $25. So going off what I just said, the first one I have is an everything shower. So an everything shower is when you exfoliate, you do your deep conditioning, shampoo twice, shave, your skincare routine, tanning, whatever you want to do, like everything. The aquifer with the lotion, with like a foot scrub, everything. Like any pampering that you want to do all of it. An everything shower. So take time to like be creative with it. Go pick out some new face wash or face mask or some incense or a scented candle, something that's going to just like, it's not a really, I mean, I guess it is about like treating yourself, but you're like, I was gonna say you're showering with your artist, but like you're being creative, you know? And I think that you have time to be intentional, and maybe your mind is less focused on everything else going around in the world, that you have time to like let your ideas flow freely. So an everything shower. And I obviously, the artist date that's like recommended in this book, The Artist Way, is 2 hours of time to take yourself out on an artist date, which with kids, just speaking as someone who has children, having a 2 hour date is a luxury. It really is, because like my son still talks about the date that I went on with my husband. We went on a date like a few 2 weeks ago or so, and it was longer than we've ever gone out. The other night I was putting him to bed and he literally says, "Mom, I forgive you." And I was like, "For what? What happened?" And he said, "For going to go with your dad," which is what he said. He said, "To go like eat with dad." And I was like, "Oh." And he's like, "And leaving me at," and he said his grandparents, but he, not that he had a bad time, he had a great time, but you know, he just, he missed us. And so he forgave me for that. So it might be even harder to take yourself individually out if you have a busy schedule or kids or pets at home. But to counter that, if you were to look at your phone screen time, I'm sure you'd be shocked at how much that is. Obviously, we all are. And we're all like a little bit scared to look at that. So anyways, 2 hours dedicated to you and your artist. Next, I have book browsing. You don't have to buy a book, but browsing the bookstores, reading all the covers, just reading through a few pages, browsing books could cost anywhere from $0 to $25 if you pick one up. A museum date with your artist. So most museums are going to be like free entry. Like most of the time, you know, you can find a museum that's a free entry. I have walking outdoors with no headphones and no one else. That's the thing about these artist dates, is you have to do them solo. Sketchbook and coffee shop or park. So taking a sketchbook to the coffee shop or a park, with or without headphones for this one, because you're also like, you're doing something that's creative. So I personally really like to listen to a book or music when I'm like writing or sketching. And so the next one I have is actually journaling at a coffee shop or at the park, just getting out of your own environment. So it feels like a date, you know, like make a date of it. Bake something from scratch, going and picking up like all the ingredients. And it doesn't have to be good. No one's like, the point is not to create something perfect. It's just to start the creative act. So anything that you've ever wanted to bake, like the first time that I baked cinnamon rolls was pretty shocking, because they didn't taste amazing, but they looked like cinnamon rolls. So that was, I mean, I guess that's obvious, but I just, they always seem like something that'd be so hard to do. Going along with that, finding something to cook from scratch, anything that you've wanted to cook, or maybe like a different cuisine that you've never tried. I have browse a flower shop or a garden center to like a hardware store or any other store in your area that may have like a gardening or fresh flowers section. Okay. I have color walks / sound walks. So I don't know if you've heard of a color walk before, but you pick a color and then you go on this walk and intentionally look for something. If your color is pink or purple, which is a little bit like harder, because I don't think we ever like, it's just, we see these things all around us, but we never like seek them out. So it's being intentional on seeking like a certain color out. And a sound walk is just paying attention to like every little sound around us. I have making a Pinterest collage. Everyone knows that I'm obsessed with Pinterest. I'm so happy since Pinterest introduced this like collage aspect. I missed Polyvore so much. Polyvore was an online website, obviously, where you could go and create like outfits and just these collages that you could find anything on. Like, I just remember, it's not ever going to be recreated in the same way, because the way that like, I would have my, which is now what people are calling indie sleaze. So my indie sleaze outfits that I would make on Polyvore would literally have baggies of 8 balls, which I've never done, just to be clear. But they were on my Polyvore collages because it fit the vibe of the outfit and the time. But I would never condone that. Like, I would never like say you should have an 8 ball with you and because it matches your boots or whatever. But like, that was the whole creative side of that. So anyways, now that Pinterest, obviously is not going to allow you to do that, but you can create these outfits or just like sticker collages or mood boards, but make them into, what I like to do is have like a Pinterest board, which is my next one, is to create like Pinterest boards for, I literally have so many for anything under the sun, but to fine tune that, to make a collage of the board. So all of the saved pins that you have on that Pinterest board, you can save like your favorite aspects of those photos and cut them out and create them into this collage. Or if you're reading a book, I like to make like book collages of the vibe or the vision of like the book, however like I've interpreted it. So that's really cool. And it's also 100% free. Next on the list, I have Legos. I know that Legos aren't under $25 for like really intricate ones, but I'm sure that you can find some for under $25 or $25. But I love Legos, and I think it's really awesome all the things that they have that you can create now. I also have Play-Doh, because I play with a lot of Play-Doh myself because of my children. But there's also like art molding clay that you can go and purchase and actually make. Like, there's this I think they sell kits. It's called Potted, and I follow them on TikTok. They have the most like coolest things that they make, and it looks so easy. I think the thing is that you have to use more clay than you think you do for those, because I've tried to make them, and the more I flatten it out, like, I have less material. So I think I am not using enough of it. But a 5-pound tub of like air dry clay will set you at like probably, it's like around, I would say, $10 to $12. So, and it's, you can make so much with that, but also like, I don't know, I just think it's cool. And then you can, if you probably have money to buy, like, you'll need like, you can do it from your hands and make little trinkets or something, but I think it's probably easier, and it'll allow you to have like a more creativity if you have a like sculpting set, and I don't know, just like an idea of like what you want to make and some tools. So that may be an extra like $10 or $5, and then you can make something really, really cool. And it's a lot of fun. So if you don't want to like, which I do have this on my higher end list, but if you don't want to go to like a pottery class, then maybe just, but you'd still want to work with clay raw, then maybe going and getting some air dry clay. Next, I have gardening. Enough said, I mean, you're in the soil, and it doesn't have to come out perfect. Nothing has to grow from it, but just the act of doing that. And next, I have paper chain making. This is something that I do a lot for our house. I'd love to have a paper chain hung up, and it's pretty time consuming, so it could take you 2 hours. I make them for like seasons and for birthdays, for a Halloween time, and for Christmas time. I also like to go and find like cute paper, like at the craft store, that I think is like a cute wallpapery pattern, and make some out of that. I actually might do that today because it sounds really cute, and I haven't had a paper chain since our little hook fell off, and I just haven't replaced it. I just use like one of those that you don't have to like put a nail in the wall. It's just like the sticky side, like adhesive clear hanging things that you put on the wall. I put those on, and then I put our paper chains looped around there to our entry of our living room. I really like when they're like hung on a ceiling too. I just, our ceilings are high, and there's no way I'm going to be able to do that. Plus they're like at an angle. But anyways, making paper chains, going to the craft store and finding like cute construction paper. I love the brand True Ray, TRU-RAY, because their paper is like thick enough to where you're not going to accidentally like rip the pages as you're like cutting them. I'd fold over hot dog style twice, and then I get 4 of these paper slices. And that's how I make our chains. You know what hot dog is, right? Like long ways. Because I was trying to explain that. I think I was like, I was doing something. I went to the store, I don't know. And I was like telling my husband to take over the paper chain making. And because I wanted it done before, like, I think it was like one of our kiddos' birthdays or something. And he was like, what is hot dog? And so I was like, you cannot go to school. You know, like hamburger hot dog folding is. So hot dog style, long ways. Hamburger is like half, like horizontally. So I'm making a paper chain. To that, jewelry making. I went to go pick up something from the craft store the other day, and I was like looking at all the jewels, and I thought like that would be something that I could really get into because they're all so pretty. Farmer market browsing, you don't have to pick anything up, maybe some flowers for yourself, but that is an activity that could also be free. Browsing the farmer's market and really getting like a feel for everything, the environment, and just, I don't know, immersing yourself in the everyone else there is literally there because they've created something. So I think that's a great place to have some creative energy. Next, I have making matcha. That is something that takes time, and it doesn't take a lot of time. It's just something that like is intentional, and then you have a reward at the end. You know, there's ways to maybe make like a blueberry or a like flavored syrup of some sort, or buy one and then just like have fun with some like different types of ice cubes or a fun cup, something that makes it like, you know, more creative. So this could be something that maybe you do spend more money on too, go which matcha is kind of pricey, especially right now. So going out and finding something that would make it more enjoyable, like a little fun drink, and it's a creative thing to do. It fuels your creative side. And if you're taking like it's something that you're doing for yourself, and it's like the whole point is to be fun and intentional about it. So I think that like going out and really finding things that are gonna like make someone else as happy as you would, or sorry, it's about making yourself as happy as you would want to make someone else as happy. But that doesn't make sense. So like when you're taking someone out on a date, you want to impress them. You want them to be happy and excited. So you should do the same for your artist because it's who you are. It's part of you. I have on the same plane as that is making coffee in a, like a pour over or a mocha pot or a French press type way, because it's again just another way to be expressive and creative and do something intentionally. So these next ones I have could cost anywhere from like $50 to $100, $150. Pottery wheel throwing. So booking a like class for you, or I don't know, like where I'm at, I don't think I have anywhere. It's a smaller town where I can like schedule time to go and just like have the wheel to myself. And I don't think they would do that for a beginner anyways. But you can take a pottery class, and I that one, it was like $85, I believe. I did see an ad for somewhere nearby. It was a museum that was hosting a free event. You just had to like show up to this museum, and they were like making, they had like wheel spinning classes that were just like fun, and I guess to get everyone, you know, it to like go out and do something creative. But this flyer was from like 3 years ago because I was like so confused because it said it was in June. It was like June 3rd, Tuesday, and I was like, that's not a Tuesday. And then I checked the year and it was the wrong year. So anyways, a pottery wheel throwing class. Go by yourself, don't take anyone else, and it's I could say anywhere from like $50 to $100. Most of the time I think they're about 100. So a higher end museum to get a pass to maybe like an exhibit they have, or just like a higher end place may cost something for entry. So they usually have like an entry fee. And I don't see it costing $50, but then you have like these exhibits like that are insanely priced for like bubbles or whatever. So I can see that those may be a little bit more, but going by yourself again to enjoy these. A solo fancy dinner to really get in tune with what you're eating and like the act that it took to create the plate in front of you and really being intentional like with what you're eating and where you're at, the environment, make like go somewhere nice. Don't just like go to a chain or something. A high tea date. I wish so much that there was a tea place around us here, but there is not. I mean, not anywhere that I could have like a tea party. They have those and I want to go so bad. But going by yourself and having a tea date. Journal or sketch at brunch. So taking your journal or sketchbook to brunch, a movie date, seeing something like, I don't know, it doesn't have to be something very creative, but it would benefit you even more if it was a very creative film. Scenic train or ferry ride. Botanical garden. I don't know how much botanical gardens are. If you're like telling me 100 is like not, it's going to be like way more than that. I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe it will be because like they also have like cafes and stuff. So I don't know. But that's an option. And maybe like you can walk through a free garden somewhere or a nice park. potted clay making items. So yeah, line the same as like going and doing the like air dry clay, but maybe like spending a little bit more on it or going somewhere where you can do that without having to use like a wheel spinning. So like looking at local pottery. Cooking classes. Enough said. I got this one from our beautiful lovely movie Princess Diaries. Paint balloon dart. Why not? Right? It's something that I think we all grew up watching and wanting to do with our moms. So be your own mom and your own artist and have a little paint balloon dart canvas thing. Do it outside. Put some box cardboard up. Go find some really big boxes of cardboard. Go to like a local hardware store or something and ask for like, I mean, I don't know if maybe. Maybe they'll give it to you, or maybe they'll just be like, why don't you just buy a box? But go and dumpster dive for some big boxes. I actually used to do this a lot when I was a teenager. I can't even believe I would just like get in a garbage can at a bookstore, but I did it. And I don't know. I didn't catch any infections, but that's really gross of me. But I did find some pretty cool things. So if you can go and just find some boxes and then have a little paint dart balloon fun with that. On the same plane, a mosaic, going to a thrift store for the sake of finding some stuff to break to make a mosaic out of would be very fun, because sometimes I go to a thrift store, and I like a certain aspect of something, but not the rest of it. I just break it and then make something else out of it. Haven't really thought of that. On the same plane, finding clothes that you like the pattern of, but not the structure of. I do not know how to quilt, but if I did, I would be doing that all day nonstop. So I think that maybe, I don't know, I think there's a easier way to like make things if you do want to find fabrics that you like, and you can maybe like make a stuffed animal. I did that as a teenager. Just like cut up some old t-shirts and we would make like dolls out of them, and that was fun. So going, you know, to the store or the thrift store to find stuff that you can break apart and make something else out of. And then our next one is to cook from a fictional novel. Because that's something that I've been doing recently, is just like, it doesn't cost anywhere from 50 to 100, although I did buy some saffron that was pretty pricey. And I just think that, you know, every book that I've been reading, there's been some food in that I have just wanted to make. And so I was actually thinking of doing a podcast episode of like all the foods that I've been inspired to read based on books that I've been reading. But if you find yourself compelled to make something from a book that you've been reading, make it. Go out and buy all the ingredients and create something from something that gave you that creative spark. So that is all that I have for today's episode on that list. I hope that the matcha worked and that this was like cohesive and you're able to understand me, because I don't know how I'm quite literally going to survive the day without caffeine. That of a bean sort. So, all right, I need to get off the mic and into civilization. So have a great week. I will see you back next week. And let me know if you took yourself out on an artist date. Bye.